This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ عباده المؤمنين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قيل لها ادخل الصرح فلما رأته حسبته لجة وكشفت عن ساقيها قال إنه صرح ممرد من قوارير. قالت رب إني ظلمت نفسي وأسلمت مع سليمان لله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. So this woman is just impressed beyond description at the splendor, at the awe, at the miracles that was displayed at the hands of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. And now we come to the final verse in this tale and this chapter. So the surah doesn't end, but of course the story and the narrative and the incident of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam is concluded at this juncture. Verse 44 of chapter 27 out of the 93 verses. Qila, it is said to this woman, udkhul as-sarha, your excellency. So you have two head of states, you have two prime ministers, you have two diplomats meeting, and then you have the camera team and you have the media houses, and he's getting coverage, etc. This is Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course the Queen of Sheba in her presence and in her royal status with her entourage that she came. Qila, it said, laha, to her, udkhuli, your excellency, enter, as-sarha, the palace. So subhanallah, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam had this pool of water, deep water, lujjah, lujjah. أو كظلمات في بحر اللجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب. Deep water. And many say that in that water there was fish as well. So, you know, people have these fancy ponds and they have this different type of exotic fish, etc. As you enter the house, you know, in the dining area or the reception hall. So there was this glass. Now, this was back in that time. There's this deep pool of water, lujjatan, right? And then it's mumarradum min qawarir. It's covered, it's layered with crystal, transparent, clear glass. So an onlooker could easily assume it just to be water because it's so transparent and so clear that you wouldn't realize that there is glass over it. There is glass over it. That's how clear it is. In Surah An-Nur, right, the famous ayah, Ayatul Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the similitude of the light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. The similitude of that light is like a mishkat, a niche. You know, back in the time, a hole in the wall where they would keep a lantern. Right? كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. In that niche, in that hole, is a lantern. الْمِصْبَاحُ فِي زُجَاجَةٍ. The lantern is in a glass. الزُّجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّيٌّ يُوْقَدْ. And then the glass is so clear and transparent that in the description of Allah, it's as though it is a brilliant star. Now you can understand when Allah describes something, it's absolutely apt. Humans are prone to exaggerate in good or bad. If we like someone, we elevate him. If we don't like someone, we downgrade him completely. So rarely are humans accurate. When Allah says something, it's absolute. Allah is describing nur, that divine light. May Allah give us that light. What is light? Imam Ghazali said, "Al-dhahiru li nafsihi wal-mudhiru li ghayrihi." That which is bright by itself and it brightens the place where it goes. So Allah describes this glass here, كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّيٌّ, as though it's a brilliant star. يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. And this lantern is then ignited with the oil that comes off from the blessed olive tree. And this blessed olive tree is not your regular olive tree, but rather لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ. It is located at the central point, which doesn't only get the eastern rays of the sun or the western rays of the sun, but it gets the perpetual rays, thereby enhancing the quality of its produce. So when the produce is enhanced, then obviously the oil that is extracted from there is of a greater caliber. Nurun ala nur. This is light upon light. My brother, my sister, let me urge you, implore you, break your head, stimulate your mind. This is something in which you need to comprehend and understand, because this is rewarding and this is wholesome. We often try and split our hair and understand things which are so intricate and complex, and really in the end of time, what did you get out of the whole thing? Okay, so she comes in. Now, I mean, this is a moment of embarrassment. You're a queen, right? You got all those around you. And you could not even comprehend the display of his wealth and what Allah had given him. So the Quran says, Ra'atuhu hasibatuhu lujjatan. She perceived this to be deep waters. Deep waters, literally, not figuratively. You know, you say you're in deep waters. This is literally. And kashafat an saqiha. She exposed her calf. She exposed her leg to wade through the waters. So, Your Majesty, Your Excellency, please, you may enter the palace. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ, when she observed it, حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً, she perceived and assumed it to be deep waters. Let's just pause for a moment. Now it's become quite a common practice, but probably when it just started, you went to a walima reception and you got some of these, you know, hand wipes. Now, it needs to be dropped into the water, and then it will kind of open up, and then, of course, you wipe your hand with it. If a person is not familiar with protocol and understanding, it's like, is this something to nibble on? Is this something as an edible? It can be quite embarrassing. It can be quite embarrassing that, you know what, this is a wipe, and this is the procedure, and that's a finger bowl, and this needs to be dropped in there or popped in there, and then, of course, it would expand, and then you wipe your hand. Now, wait, hang on, you send in gifts and all this gold and silver to a man who's got such wealth that you don't even know how to understand it, leave alone own it. So, وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا, she then, the literal verbatim translation, verse 44, chapter 27, I hope you're following and we're on one page in mind and thought and spirit. So, she exposes her calf. قَالَ, she's then immediately halted and modestly informed, إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِنْ قَوَارِيرٌ, Your Excellency, Your Majesty, this is covered with layers of glass. مُمَرَّد, covered, layered. قَوَارِير, قَارُورَ, it's glass, so you can walk freely. It's durable, it's transparent, it's clear, it's crystal, it's safe, it's fine. Oops, you know when you say you went red like a tomato? And you could feel that awkward moment. قَالَ إِنَّ, but she was amazing. She was amazing. Let's make no mistake about this here. In the sense that as soon as she seen the truth, she embraced the truth. She embraced the truth. Was it not Hiraqal who received the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And initially he said, لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ. لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ, the hadith of Bukhari. I would do anything in my means to go and meet this person and wash his feet and sit in his company. And then all the courtiers and everyone, they decided to just flee and abandon him. And he said, no, I just wanted to examine you if you still have trust in me. Remember, our faith will remain the same. And because of his position, he did not embrace the truth. Because of his position, he did not embrace the truth. And often when you embrace the truth, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives you that same honor, that same fame, but in a wholesome way. In a wholesome way. So let's conclude the ayah. Qala, it was said, innahu sarhun. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, innahu sarhun mumarradun min qawarir. This is a palace layered, covered with glass. Qalat rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. Qalat rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. Oh my Lord, surely I have oppressed myself. Surely I have oppressed myself. I have wronged myself. And that's the dua we read. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. Oh Allah, I have committed a great injustice to my soul by disobeying you. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. and none can pardon sins but you. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ. So grant me a wholesome pardon from you. رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, I have oppressed myself. My brother, my sister, pause for a moment and just go down memory lane of the wrong that you've done and the wrong that I've done. And remember, every wrong that we've done, we've oppressed ourselves. We've wronged ourselves. Have we ever enjoyed those moments where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amongst those people who will enjoy the shade of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا. Where you're just sitting in seclusion, in isolation, and you go down memory lane, and you say, oh, but I've done so much wrong in my life. Sure, if Allah were to take me to task for my youth, for my prime, for my school days, from my university days, from my pre-marriage life, from my business dealings, oh Allah, I've done so much. Probably you've changed and hopefully you have, and may Allah allow me to fully change as well and for us all to change. May Allah make that possible, because when we make dua for others, we make dua for ourselves as well. We say, Allah, give him hidayat. And we don't say like, you know, like he needs it, I don't need it. No. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came from Mount Tur and then he observed what had happened there and the worship of the calf was taking place. And then, وَأَلْقَى الْأَلْوَاحِ. أَلْقَى means he put down, the Torah. And he was obviously in rage. And then he grabbed the beard of his brother, يَجُرُّهُ إِلَيْهِ. And he said, يَبْنَ أُمَّ. And, you know, he said, what is this? And why have you, you know, allowed this to happen? And of course, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam said, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. Again, we see and observe here where the ijtihad and the thinking process of two prophets differ from each other, though they are in the same time. Musa alayhi salam felt that he should mobilize against those people who worship the calf. And Harun alayhi salam felt that this could lead to a permanent division amongst Bani Israel. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam made dua for his brother. And he made dua for himself. قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِي أَخِي وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this woman, Bilqis, we discussing this part of the story and coming to the culmination where she confesses guilt to Allah. Let us all make that same expression to Allah. رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Oh my Lord, I have oppressed my soul. وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانِ. وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانِ. And I have embraced the truth with Sulaiman alayhi salam. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. For Allah, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Now people want to know, did Sulaiman alayhi salam marry Bilqis? That's the kind of, you know, thoughts that people will commonly ask when you're discussing the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and likewise Zulaykha, etc. Again, authentic narrations do not give off any indication. Yes, there are certain narrations that suggest Ikrama's call is mentioned, that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam then performed and solemnized the nikah with her, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam then sent her back to Yemen. There's mention in Jalalain as well. There's mention in Jalalain as well. And then he built for her a palace beyond comprehension in comparison to the palace that she had. Some narrations say he built for her three palaces, right? And then he would visit her monthly. And he left her there with her family, etc. And he had performed the nikah. As I mentioned, this is mentioned in Jalalain and Ikrama as well. And others say, أَبْهِمُوا مَا أَبْهَمَهُ اللَّهُ. Leave ambiguous and vague what Allah has left vague and ambiguous. If Allah has not discussed it in the Quran, just conclude on that note. That being said, that kind of wraps up the discussion of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam and Bilqis. There was just one incident and one story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam which features in Surah As-Sad, and I thought it appropriate as we conclude the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to touch on it. So the backdrop of it is as follows. One day Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was busy preparing his horses, right? And these were fine bred horses. Those that are into horses would know and appreciate it. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. Fine bred, exclusive, horses. And he was engaged in them. And in the process, حَتَّى تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ. One translation, the sun set. Either the Asr Salah got delayed or Qadha, or then a nafil and an optional prayer got omitted, and the latter being the more preferred option. And then he realized that, oops, my nafil salah, my daily, you know what, practice got slipped up. And he was engaged in horses, and that was for battle. So it was not for any personal hobby or interest or like or sport or activity. He was engaged, but at that time, priority. So at the time of salah, it doesn't make sense for you to be engaged in anything but salah, because that is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're engaging in nafal salah, and the farz salah and the congregational prayer is taking place. It defeats it. It defeats it. Because at that time, that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam then said, Rudduha alayya, bring those animals to me. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. And then according to one commentary, he then slaughtered them. And then he said that distribute all the meat amongst the poor and the needy. And the other one was where on a particular instance, he had, according to the hadith of Sahih Muslim, he had 100 spouses, 100 consorts. And he said, لَأَطُوفَنَّ اللَّيْلَ, I will consummate and share the bed with each wife in one night, right? And that tells you about the physical strength of a Nabi. The physical strength of a Nabi. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada' also had relationship with all his honorable consorts in one night. Can you imagine the physical strength of a Nabi? So Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam made a vow that he's going to sleep with each one. Each one of them will conceive and will produce an issue and deliver a child. But he did not say, inshallah, as per the hadith of Sahih Muslim, because of which no child was born, other than one woman that gave birth to a child, but that was also malformed child. It was not a fully formed child. And this is one tafsir given to this ayah. وَأَلْقَيْنَا عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيِّهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّ أَنَابٍ, that we had put on his throne a body, a corpse, half-shaped, you know, malformed body. ثُمَّ أَنَاب, and then of course he realized and repented. So some say the commentary of this tafsir, of this verse here in Surah As-Sad, is that the one woman who had given birth out of the 100 and the child was malformed, then the child was brought and put on the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then of course he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That the slip up, and this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran. Oh Allah, forgive my slip up. One is with regards to the horse, and the other slip up regarding the horseman. The horse was the conveyance, and he wanted 100 horsemen to be born, meaning soldiers and warriors, right? From the 100 spouses. So, oh Allah, forgive me regarding the rakib and the markab. La ilaha illallah. Look at the correlation regarding the conveyance and the rider. And oh Allah, bless me now with something that makes me free of a horse also and a horseman. And then Allah made the wind subservient to him. Allah made the wind subservient to him. Right? And regarding the slip up, the scholars say, فِيهِ إِمْكَانُ الذُّهُولَ عَنِ الْأَكَابِرِ لَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا كَانَ مُسْتَحَبًّا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَوْكَدِ الْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ مِنْ نَظْرِ إِلَى شَأْنِهِمْ. That we realize from this year that it's possible for a slip up to occur when it is the omission of something which is preferable. Right? Although because of the status of prophets, they would then bring about stern discipline upon themselves. And that's exactly what Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam did. That little engagement in that horse, which resulted in the inadvertent exclusion or omission or overlooking of an optional action. And he took such an action on himself that he said, whatever is the value of that, slaughter those horses and distribute that in the path of Allah. And let's conclude on that note. Allah gave him so much, but he parted with that which created a little adjustment and a disturbance in the execution of his daily regimen. Are you prepared to part with that friendship, with that passion, with that attachment, which you know has kept you away from Allah? Be it a friend, be it a device, be it anything else. Are you ready to drop it cold turkey for the pleasure of Allah and then see what Allah gives you?